Hello, everyone. I'm Alex Majorana.
And I'm Sydney Lynch.
And this is Little Known Tracks. This week, we talked to Ethan of indie dream pop rock project Croissant. He's a big fan of Star Wars, noting that the sound design and music caught his attention at a young age. His initial lack of interest in the plot led him to writing reviews for nobody but himself. His interest in music started with a Tom O'Dell remix and led him to a used MacBook that happened to have Logic installed. He soon began to dissect the music he listened to layer by layer.
He recently released Early Days, a collection of music from the past few years of Croissant, a personal journey highlighting his growth and embracing life. He's currently working on a new EP inspired by dreams and hopes to have it released by this summer. Without further ado, 1 Minute Away by Croissant.
Ethan, Croissant, thank you so much for being on with us today. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I think the first thing that we wanted to chat with you a little bit about was you told us you enjoyed film, all aspects of it. So I guess let's start with the beginning, how you kind of got interested in film.
The beginning. I was born and just straight away watching Star Wars. That was my end to film, I think. And this might lead into music as well, because I can remember the Star Wars films as sounds rather than the actual dialogue. I just remember the tone of the voices, the sort of inflections in their voices rather than whatever the story is. Even now I watch it at 23 and I'm like, oh, I actually didn't realize that was the plot. I just remember it for these striking images and the sound design, like ships flying past and shooting at each other. lightsabers, iconic.
You don't need the plot to enjoy all the other crazy stuff that's going on.
No, absolutely not. Star Wars is a wonderful franchise where the story, though I've come to appreciate it, it doesn't matter. It just looks incredible. I'm sure a lot of people would kill me for saying that, but I just enjoy looking at the nice colors.
Entirely fair. It is a, especially for like when it was made initially, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. So props to them for doing all that. But you also said that you're interested in like writing for and about film. So tell us a little bit about that.
I like, from a very young age, again, similarly to Star Wars, I just like reviewing film just for myself. I don't review it to anyone else, but writing down what I liked, writing down, or I love writing down how I think they filmed something, and then going and watching their behind the scenes and seeing how did they make that work. Like keeping Star Wars as the example, George Lucas using potatoes as meteorites.
Like, huh.
Who would have thought it? They didn't just go to space.
I think it's really interesting how you talked about Star Wars being like remembering it more from the sounds and the sound design. Is that how, when you watch movies now, you kind of have those more memorable aspects being the sounds, sound design, as opposed to like visuals and story?
I think that's a great question because it's made me think that I probably should, but I don't think it is something that I do now. I think because I've been studying music for the last 3 years, I try and shut that part of my brain off when I'm consuming any sort of media now. So a film now is like, what is the story? Does it look cool? Rather than what does it sound like? Although, of course, you've still got great soundtracks out there that like anything Hans Zimmer does is just a win. Like, has he ever missed with a film score? Like, but no, I should pay way more attention to sound design in films and TV than I do. And maybe I shall from now.
I feel like
that's your relaxing
separation of
turn your brain off moment. You own that. You should absolutely do that.
Now, you talked about Star Wars several times already. Is that, would you say, like, your favorite? Or do you have others that maybe sit on top? Or is that just something that was a good example?
I think Star Wars is certainly on the podium. I honestly think it shifts between Star Wars and Batman. Anything Batman. I think the older 66 Adam West Batman cape was what I was watching after I was done watching Star Wars as a toddler, and like, so it's those two influences that have really fed any creativity that I have. Just men wearing capes.
I was just about to say, I feel like there's not a whole lot those things have in common besides the capes. So
I think we really need to add capes to our live performance. I feel I'm just realizing so much now. I need to pay attention to sound design in movies, and I need to start wearing more capes.
Yeah.
Listen.
Hey.
You heard it here first.
Put more capes on. Wear more capes. It'll make you feel cool, and it'll make everyone.
It'll look cool.
Have
too.
A lot of questions about you.
Maybe. Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to make a dumb joke about capes, but it wasn't worth it.
But you've talked about how these movies have impacted kind of your life as your favorites. Do you see any influence in those movies in your writing or how you approached music?
Certainly the sound design aspect, I think, of Star Wars. You've got just so many layers of different textures, different sounds, And that's before you even get to the score and like the musical aspect of it. And I think probably subconsciously when I started out mixing and trying to figure out what the heck mixing was, it was just balancing all these layers. And because I can't sing, I usually just pack a load of instruments into a project and then have to sort of balance them all out. And I think a lot of that sort of technique came from listening to the Star Wars and the way, I think the guy's name was Ben Burr that did the Star Wars sound design, and the way he kind of mixes things. So you've got something happening over here, something in the middle, and it's just all balanced and just sits really nicely when you listen to it.
So I'm interested in how it feels like you've been so influenced by that and the kind of way that was made in general. How did you end up kind of veering into music and maybe not so much like sound design and anything else in film in regards to that?
I ended up sort of veering more towards music through one record. And it was the Tom O'Dell song, Another Love, but it was remixed by these two guys whose names I can't remember. It was like a really EDM house pumpy synth heavy version of this song. And then I went and listened to the original song, obviously incredibly different to a house bop. And I just fell in love with the way Tom O'Dell played piano. And so I just tried to learn all of his songs, having never really touched a keyboard before, but just wanting to be able to do what he did and make those same sounds. And then I also kind of kept the same love for all the EDM stuff. Like I started listening to Avicii loads when he was getting big and sort of listening to the way he mixed and how did he make those sounds? That's what I wanted to know. I wanted to make those sounds. So I think the church I was at the time gave me an old MacBook that they had. They were just like, hey, this is old. We don't use it. Knock yourself out. And it had an old version of Logic Pro installed. So I was just opening up these different instruments.
Wow.
Like, man, was this someone? One sound like? And you just get to play around for hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and years, really, trying to make the same sounds as these guys. And then in the process, kind of making your own sounds by accident. And then it's only now in the last couple of years that I've formed Croissant, that I look back at the sounds that I created trying to be like those guys. And I'm like, oh, this is my sound now. I've made these sounds, which aren't their sounds, even though I was trying to be. But this is kind of my version. And so I kind of embraced that more. And now my sound has stemmed from relation.
I appreciate the idea of sort of starting music and developing what you're doing in research, basically, and trying to emulate and just being like, how do you do that? And that feels like a very common thought process for you already, like with music, with film and whatnot. So that is a super interesting way to start developing your sound. Now, I think my question becomes, once you've sort of developed that sound of your own, are you looking back and going, okay, well, how did I make that and how do I make it different? Or are you still looking at other people and going, how did they do that? And like trying to emulate and like getting something different and going, okay, this is cool still.
I definitely still listen to artists. I think I still try to, I hear songs I like now, like by people like Tame Impala, especially. Like his production is just insane on everything that he does. Even I was watching the Barbie movie recently on a plane, and like you've got those crappy little headphones they give you. When his song came on, I was like, that's Tame Impala's. You can tell through his production. So I kind of tried to emulate stuff like that a little bit, but I've made or what I think I can hear in my head more so than rip off other artists nowadays.
Yeah, I think the emulation is more of the inspiration for your music and the way you move forward with your writing. So let's dive a little bit into your EP that you recently released, Early Days, and it's the collection of all of your music from 2021 to 2023. So tell us a little bit about the thought process behind putting these songs in an EP, and the writing and recording process of the whole thing.
Yeah, sure. So Early Days, really, it was an idea that I kind of developed halfway through releasing the group of six songs that came out over the last couple of years. Because when I released the first three, I'll be honest, I didn't have any sort of EP intentions. I was just like, oh, hey, I wrote a song. This is cool. I'll release it and see what happens. But then as I kind of got halfway through that, I realized the songs that I was writing, they all kind of linked together and there was a narrative within there that I hadn't initially meant intentionally to carry across all six tracks. I thought I was just writing about points in my life one by one, but then I realized what kind of zooming out that those six tracks were, they covered an entire point of my life, which kind of had a beginning and an end with a middle as well, like a good story does. But then it also kind of, it doesn't just end, there's room for more. But it did feel like the end to a chapter. So I released the first song, which was heavily inspired sonically through just listening to a lot of Dayglo. But I wanted to write about the way that I felt, kind of how I was hearing and seeing love across media, which was really... just randomly at the time, I must have just watched a load of rom-coms because it was just like sickly sweet. It's like really unrealistic and kind of in your face. So I kind of wanted to write a happy, bouncy melody with these kind of what I knew were almost sarcastic lyrics that everyone else would go, oh, hey, this is great. This is a song about love. And then like, in a relatively small circle, that is kind of what happened when I released the song. People that knew about it were like, hey, this is great. It's a song about love. It's bouncy, it's happy. I was like, cool, yeah. I don't need to be cynical and sarky about things. Like, if people want to enjoy it, like that's what the song is. That's fine. And then the next song that I released was I Don't Want to Be Like Them, which was probably one of the lowest points of where I was at on that journey. Like, I kind of see it as going from me feeling negative about love. Not that I'd been hurt or anything. I just felt this way as a kind of angsty young man. Not that I'm an old man now, but younger man. And then it just... of not feeling lost in who I was in society, but realizing I didn't want to be like the people that I thought I did. Having kind of grown up as in the YouTuber generation of, hey, this is what the ideal lifestyle looks like. I was like, oh, cool. I guess that's what I want to be. But it turns out I didn't. I didn't know what I wanted to be, but I knew I didn't want to be like that. So that was the next song. I think Shadow Honey, which was, but these songs then kind of showed the arc of me going down, trying to find who I was and coming out at the end and ending with Smile More on the Dance Floor, which is just about, hey, you know what? No one really knows what they're doing. Let's just all get on the, well, the analogy was the dance floor and, you know, just have fun. So that's why I decided to put it into an EP, because I feel like it shows what I am now at the end, but it takes you on that journey from, what the hell, who the heck am I, to it doesn't matter. Just have fun. With kind of the exploration on the way of, I don't know, and being okay with not finding exact answers or the answers that they thought they would, or I thought I would.
Now, I think that is like a very interesting kind of perspective to have in general, and to be able to write about that, like kind of unknowingly until it got closer to the end of that process. That's really interesting. That's really fun. I think over the course of writing that and releasing this music, did you see any sort of evolution in the music that you were writing and how you were making it as those came out?
Yeah, for sure. I certainly, the production of everything got better the more I messed around with things, the more I think the more ruthless, you know what, maybe I don't need 500 synths here. I can just get away with 3. And maybe my vocals don't need to be buried in reverb. You know, I want people to hear what I'm saying. I spend time writing the lyrics. Like, I didn't want it to become buried. I think as well, from a writing perspective, I became more honest. I think I stopped trying to hide behind I stopped trying so hard to hide behind metaphors and stuff that didn't really make sense to anyone apart from me. And like, because I think maybe with 1 minute away, I felt clever, like, no one realizes what this song's really about. But I was like, well, what's the point then? So I think I tried to become more honest in my lyrics, but without making them too on the nose. And then I started collaborating with a lot more people as well in the production phases. And there's a lot more vocal harmony from really talented singers. I was like, well, can you come and please put it on my song? And yeah, I think the last 4 songs named Mike Luetto, who I think came over to England from LA, and is a wonderfully exuberant, energetic man with just a lot of passion for music and an incredible producer, which made my life really easy because I just kind of wrote the songs, put them at levels I thought sounded cool, and then he'd go and make it actually sound cool. So I think, in order of release of song, as well as slight quality increase in lyrics and melodies and things like that.
So you told us that you are writing a new EP, that everything is written and it just needs to be recorded, mixed, mastered. Tell us all you can about it. How was the writing process, and you know what you're looking forward to when you record?
I've really enjoyed writing this one. I think now I'm done. I'm not done with like self-exploration and stuff, but I've kind of moved on from that sort of subject. And now I wanted to write about dreams, because it's something that's existed in my life for as long as I can remember, like most people, except my dreams from a very young age have been lucid and extremely vivid. So I didn't want to sit and write an EP specifically about the content of my dreams. I just wanted to write a very dreamlike, nostalgic, sentimental kind of feeling, the sort of unrealness of a dream, but it's perfectly real whilst you're in it, if that makes any sense. Sometimes I think I just waffle on pretentiously about things. there's 5 songs. They've all been written, and they all have demos. And I think they're all very exciting, especially because we're in a position now where we have a set croissant band, whereas before it was just me, three of us called Jacob, an incredible bassist called Noah, and we can collaborate on the musical elements much more than I was able to before as a non-bassist and a non-drummer. So, and like these guys are technically top of their game. So it's just, again, makes my life easy and makes my songs sound 10 times better than they would otherwise. If I do say so myself. Yes, I started writing these not that long ago, like probably as we entered the winter. I think I was just, I had the drive to do it. So I'm in my final year of studying, so I've been busy. But I had the winter break. I had the motivation and this subject that I wanted to write about. Because I think before early days, I had wanted to write another EP recently, but just I was kind of trying to cram songs that didn't fit, and there was no narrative, there was nothing. I was just trying to do it for the sake of doing it. But then this kind of all just landed and it made sense and it felt right, which I think has been a theme throughout my life, where when things feel right, they just feel right. And like, it's hard to put it into words beyond that. It's hard to explain feeling right. It just felt good when it landed, when it hit, when I saw the songs, I saw the track list, I saw the lyrics all come together. And the music just started to come rather than me trying to force it and make this EP an EP. It just happened, and Jacob and Noah were there and they start giving their ideas. And this whole thing just becomes sort of a beautiful like mess that is slowly kind of sculpted away until we've got just this EP that feels so right. And yeah, so we're just kind of rounding up everyone that we've worked with over the past few years to come and mix it and produce it, and setting dates to go and record drums in a studio, because my bedroom definitely does not fit a drum kit in it. And yeah, I think the aim is to be ready for midsummer. Like I said, final year of studying, so I do have slightly more pressing matters to deal with. But yeah, it's certainly there, and it's not quite on the back burner at the minute, but it's kind of slowly churning away. But it's pretty ready, and I'm really excited to share it.
No, that is really exciting, and we're absolutely looking forward to that. When you talk about the way you made this EP and wanting it to be sort of surreal and almost dreamlike, is that going to be more like reflected more in the sound and like the sonic aspect of it, or are the lyrics also like highly reflective of that sort of theme?
I think it's a mix of both, for sure. Like, there are definitely, so I've tried to reference dreams in some way in most, if not all, the titles. And then it crops up in the songs as well. But I think mostly sonically, really is where the dream feel is carried. I've tried to put in a lot of synths from kind of really from the 80s to the early 2000s, which I feel like is a big thing at the moment, anyway. But yeah, just really whacking them through a lot of tape machines and tape delay plugins, which really lends itself to that kind of Twin Peaks sound, I think, which, well, yeah, is, I think most people that have seen Twin Peaks love that for what it is and the sort of surreal nature of it. But again, I guess that's kind of down to emulation, like we were talking about earlier, kind of getting lost midway through emulation and then finding your own sound.
And that's interesting to use the aspect of the film as that, you know, inspiration, emulation for some of this, like the sonic elements of this album. What other music were you listening to that maybe you were pulling that emulation or getting inspiration for how you wanted this new EP to sound?
I listen to a lot of soundtracks from like Blade Runner was a big one. I rewatched that a whole bunch recently. I was a big fan of the Batman animated series and a show animated shows like Cowboy Bebop and you know, their music, which not that I've gone down the fusion jazz route, but I think there are elements of kind of shows that are nostalgic to me. So I my hope is that it will feel nostalgic to other people, even if kind of that era wasn't theirs to have nostalgia for necessarily. I think bands like Pond, I certainly have listened to a lot. I don't know how much of that comes across in the EP, but I'm sure subconsciously there's been a whole bunch of the way they mix, the way they record drums. Just like, I just find them so fascinating because I think they've just announced the 10th studio album and like all their albums sound so vastly different, but they've each got their unique sound. And I just want that for this EP. Not to have their sound, but to have its own sound that people can come back to. That anyone that happens to listen can be like, oh, hey, that is that sound. That's the Croissant sound on that specific EP.
Yeah, that is a really good aspiration to have, to kind of have that recognizable sound in general, but also for each project, sort of. And I mean, so far, the first one's definitely got a recognizable, like, you know what this music is, like, you know who's making it. So I have no doubt that the next EP will do just that as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely looking forward to getting to hear that and whatever else comes next for Croissant. Sydney, did you have any other questions for Ethan?
So where can we find and follow you online and listen to all of your music?
Oh, wow. I've got to try and remember. Spotify. I think any streaming service like Spotify, Apple, Tidal, whatever you use, is just Croissant. On Instagram and Facebook and possibly TikTok, we are Croissant Musician because someone has pinched Croissant already. Which is fair enough. I was quite late to that. But yeah, I think most of our updates on things and behind the scenes footage or snippets of songs come through on Instagram, just because that's what I tend to use the most. And I'm not big enough for an agency to post on Facebook and TikTok for me. And I don't really like using them. But I try to keep people updated on there. Mostly my parents' friends on Facebook.
Someone's got to keep them updated.
They're probably the biggest supporters.
Yeah, dude. Hey, your parents and the people they know, sometimes they're the ones that get it done. But yeah, once again, Ethan, Croissant, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. You've been great. I've loved talking to you.
Thank you for listening to Little Known Tracks. If you or a loved one want to be featured, send us an email at littleknowntrackspodcast@gmail.com. Also, feel free to follow us over on Twitter and Instagram at LKTPod for more information about the podcast, when episodes come out, and occasionally giveaways and things of that nature. Thank you again for listening. See you next week.